Okay, my name is Edwin Ackley, and I'm presenting today on the Rising Sea Microbial Community of Promiscuous Soybean Cultivars in the Guinea Savanna Zone of Ghana. So as we can clearly see, we have the background image. There is a plant, and we saw the gentleman opening the underground part of the plant, and there was light. So we will be wondering, what is that? And that's what we call the rhizosphere. Well, that is the area of the soil directly under the influence of plant roots. The rhizosphere is a unique environment because it's a place where there are a lot of microbial interaction. And when we talk about microbial interaction, we have some beneficial microbial interactions, such as we having a vascular mycorrhizal fungi within the rhizosphere that helps in the uptake of phosphorus and water. We can also talk about rhizobium interacting with the roots of legumes, helping in nitrogen fixation. Presently, modern technology or advances in molecular technology has provided a better understanding of the rhizosphere microbiome. However, in most developing countries, including sub-Saharan Africa, of which Ghana is part, there is a limited information on the rhizosphere microbiome, including that of legumes and other arable crops. However, for us to develop any sustainable and efficient farming system, we need to integrate this thing, either crop evaluation or agronomy or management. The soil biology must play a key role. So the question that we ask is that, to what extent can microbial inoculant or inoculation help to enhance the rhizosphere microbial community? With that research question, we came up with our study objective to determine how bright rhizobium inoculation affect the rhizosphere microbiome, as well as nodulation, shoot biomass, and grain yield of different soybean cultivars in Ghana. The second objective is to look at the effect of different cultivar selection on rhizosphere microbial community structure during growth. So in 2016, we initiated our study in Yankpala, Ghana. The field that we use has been under cultivation to maize for 3 consecutive years, and our baseline soil property show that the soil is very alluvial, typical of tropical also soil. The soil test results that you see are available N and are available P. Then we set up our experiment as a split plot design, where our main factors consist of 3 soybean cultivars. The first one is what we call Jangoma, which is the farmer's cultivar, and then the other 2 are Fayak and Sonda, where the newly released varieties in 2013. The code that we see, TGS, typically referred to them as tropical lysine mass crosses, is the code that if you are a breeder, whosoever you are looking for them, you use those code. Then we also evaluated 3 commercial inoculants as our subplot factor. The first one was Biofis. We got it from Kenya. It contained the USDA strain 1110, that's the bright rhizobium strain. When we had a legume fix from UK, that also contained the USDA strain of bright rhizobium 532C. Then we had a Nodomas that also contained the USDA strain 1110. In addition to control. So the picture there shows some of the agronomic management that we did. The first one is where we were sowing the seed, followed by where we applied the fertilizer and then the weeding. Regardless of the treatment, we applied 30 kg P and 30 kg K from triple superphosphate and emerald of potash. Then we collected our rhizosphere soil over the growth stages. So the arrow here, this is where we termed as a rhizosphere. So when we approve the plant, we shake it. Any soil that remains on the root is what we call the rhizosphere soil. So we collected them over a sample period from 33 days through to 110 days, which is full seeding. And I once mentioned that at each soil sampling date, we also took root biomass, nodal sample and shoot biomass. Then we did our analysis. The first one is to look at the entire microbial community structure using phospholipid fatty acid analysis. What the phospholipid fatty analysis tells us the entire microbial, the active microbial population around the root. Then we look at nodulation, that's the nodules on the side root and the shoot biomass. Then we look at yield, and we look at our inoculation response. So there is our ANOVA table, and one of your all the parameters that we assess, we realize that growth stage has an impact on all of them. Then we also have a shoot side root and shoot biomass having some inoculant times inoculant by cultivar interaction, and then we have some inoculant and grain yield effect. Variety effect. So let's look at what happened. The first one is the total microbial biomass, which is the total PLFA. So what we saw is that 110 days, we have more microbial biomass compared to the rest of the growth stages. What we can say here is that as plants grow, they release more exudate, and these exudates are food for microbes. At this stage, which is the full seeding, plants will also drop litter, so that might account for the higher microbial biomass that we see. Then we look at the actinomyces. Whereas here we can divide, we saw that there was more actinomyces at full podding compared to the rest of the stages. But the interesting story lies here, where we increase the AMF fungi. As I indicated from my introduction, that abascular mycorrhiza fungi helps in the uptake of P from the soil. At 90 days and at 110, which is full podding and full seeding, we realized there was significant increase in abascular mycorrhiza fungi abundance compared to flowering. So we can say, because we didn't do risk scoring, but we can say that maybe the plant at this stage, the plant needs a lot of phosphorus, so the plant must have extended each root to cater for each supplementary phosphorus requirement. Another indicator that we look at was the gram positive and the gram negative bacteria in the soil. So at full seeding, we had more gram negative compared to the rest of the growth stages, as we can see here. Now, gram negative are associated with nutrient-rich environment. So at this stage, we also expect to see more gram negative. And even the Bradyrhizobium inoculant that we use, also a gram, belongs to the gram negative group. So gram positive had no effect regardless of growth stages. So we come to the plant. So how did the inoculation affected the plant root? So we can see where we didn't inoculate, we have almost, there was no nodule except this one. But where we added the inoculant, we see a lot of, nodules occurring on the root. So we look at the side root node as an indicator. So this is our control, and this is where we inoculated. So we can see that of the control, biofix, legume fix, and nodule mass. So we can clearly see that when we inoculate, there was increase in nodulation. The same response we saw in both Afayak and Sondatu. Then let's look at also shoot biomass. What also happened? For the shoot biomass, we see a similar trend, but we can see the pronounced effect at that R3 stage, which is beginning to pour in that biofix and nodule mass show increase in shoot biomass compared to this thing. But the trend shows, in general, we can say that nodule mass perform better than the rest of the treatment. But the question is that, did that translate into yield? Because the ultimate goal of the farmer is to get increase in grain yield. And what we saw was that when you inoculate using this biofix, the one from Kenya, and the nodule mass, the one from Nigeria, there was a significant increase in yield compared to the control. So the question is, what was the response? So when these were the inoculation response, then in on average, when we combine all the three, we can see that when you inoculate, you are going to get about 30% yield increment, which is very significant, all things being constant. The question is, how much is the cost of inoculant? It's about between $1 to $2. So if the farmer is will invest about $1 or $2 to get about 30% increment, then that shows that it's a very good investment. The farmer will be ready to adapt.
Then let's look at the various cultivars. How did they perform? We saw that this is the newly released Afayard performed better than the farmer's cultivar. Then the farmer's cultivar also performed than this Sonda, which is also one of the newly released varieties. So in conclusion, how can we say? We can say that the total microbial biomass, gram negative, and as well as abascular mycorrhizal fungi increase with growth. Inoculation enhance nodulation. In sub-Saharan Africa, in particular Ghana, soybeans are not inoculated. But these results are indicating a positive trend that when we inoculate, we are going to get increased nodulation. We also saw that when you inoculate, you are going to increase biomass yield and grain yield, which is also a very good story. And Afayard produce a greater grain yield than the other cultivars. Acknowledgement. I wish to acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Chakrais. And he has been under him for the past about 5 years now. And my committee members, Dr. Ziegler, Dr. Heroche, and Dr. Vera Passat, as well as my in-country advisor, Dr. Benjamin Hiambo, and the soil microbiology team at Kansas and at Sari, Ghana. And I also wish to acknowledge my sponsor, BHET program in the USD, as well as Kansas State. Thank you for coming to listen and questions and comments. Okay, so the inoculant that we used was a peat-based inoculant. So we used 10 grams of the inoculant to 1 kilogram of seed, based on how the manufacturer recommended.
So you seed applied?
Yes, seed applied. Then we just... yes and no at the same time. we are looking for people to bring it in, and yes, at the same time is that just last year, this season, let me say, the cropping season has started. The CSIR has started producing a cowpea inoculant. So that's it. So, but there are more private investors, a private public partnership to import the inoculant into the country, particularly for soybean. But for cowpea, we started producing the inoculant in country, Adelaide.
So, is Afayard, Jinguma, and Songda, are they known for promiscuous nodulation?
Yes, all the three are promiscuous nodulating because they were bred to nodulate with the native rhizobia in the soil. So we call them promiscuous nodulating soybean.
Okay. So you said there was one soybean that was a farmer variety.
Yes.
But my understanding is that soybeans come from Asia.
Pardon me?
Soybeans are introduced to Africa from Asia.
Yeah. Okay, so from the second part of your questions, yeah. But the problem in Africa is that when the soybean was introduced, they were not nodulating. So they crossed the one with the US and the one from Asia. So the African ones have the code TGS line. They were made to, nodulate with the tropical lysine. So the farmer's cultivar is the one that the farmers have cultivated over and over and over. So it's with them. Then, it has been released over 10 to 12 years now. Then those new, the Afayard and Sonda, were released somewhere in 2013.
So they have been grown for like 10 years?
More than 10 years. Oh, I don't know.
So Jinguma actually came from SARI.
Yeah.
And it was an IATA line originally. He called it a farmer's line because that's what every farmer does. Any other questions? Okay, well, let's give Edmund another.
Thank you.